Giving advice is a fool's activity. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Giving advice is a fool's activity. Why is giving advice a fool's activity? Well, for many, many reasons, a few on the surface, which would be that you're not that other person. You don't know what is really going on in their mind. You don't know who stimulated the activity that called for you giving advice on that activity. And you might be real surprised that you're being put on, you're being used to give advice on something you don't know. And so you think you know the facts, you think you know the circumstances, and you don't. You really don't. I have many, many people coming to me and thinking that just because I got snow on my roof, that I have a lot of wisdom in all areas of life. And I'd like to set the record straight now. I have wisdom in all areas of life, and the biggest wisdom that I have is training myself to shut up. I have not been too successful with this, but I've been training myself in doing this, because everybody comes and wants me to give them an opinion on something which is none of my business. And so if it's none of my business, I have not my heart in it, I haven't my interest in it. And so then they ask me, what do you think of the roses in my garden? Well, really, I don't give a damn about them, because if they're not in my garden and making me happy, sure, but if it makes you happy, go for it, you know. Well, what do you think of the roses in my garden? Well, I think they're XYZ roses, and they could stand a little more nutrition, a little more fertilizer. They could stand a little more watering, and they could stand a little more shade, because your type of roses there are, well, shade. Well, what makes you think you're an expert on roses? I didn't say anything. You said, what do you think about roses? And so I talked to you about it. And then when I answer your question, then you say, what makes me an expert? Well, do you want to know what makes me an expert? For 35 years, I studied as a horticulturist, and I raised roses, and I raised people who raised roses, and I was paid $500 half hour for counseling people on raising their roses, and I've written 6 books on it. You know, that's what. Well, why? Well, why didn't you tell me all this? Because I'm not doing that anymore. I left that when I decided that I was going to sell hearing aids, you know. And so now I'm selling hearing aids, and I'm having just such a good time at it, because I like the snakes in the hearing aids. And the snakes go into people's ears, and they tickle their ears, and it's just like when you're getting a lovely kiss, you get a shake-up all over, sort of goosebumps. And it's kind of interesting. I can see why these people love to sell hearing aids, because they say, that's going to tickle. And you know that you're giving them almost an orgasm in the hearing aid area. But this is the fun thing of minding your own business, staying in your own field, and shutting up. Now, if I were to tell everybody all the fields that I have ever been in, all the studies that I've ever done, and all the things that I have ever developed an opinion about, you wouldn't have time in a month of Sundays to do that. So what do? I normally just sit back in smiling repose and enjoy whatever life does disclose. And it is kind of fascinating. It's just kind of a joyful experience. It's a really very nice experience. Now, why is it's not wise to give advice? Well, number one, it's not wise to give advice because it's none of our business. It's none of our business. Now, I have so many young men come and say, do you think I should marry this girl? And I say, well, I wouldn't. You know? Well, what do you mean you wouldn't? Well, she's too young for me. Or I'm married already. Or I, whatever. Oh, well, that wasn't thought. I meant, what do you think I should marry her? Well, you didn't ask me that. You said, do you think I should marry that girl? And you're asking me if I should marry that girl. Now, do you say, your name is Donald, and you say, do you think Donald should marry this girl? And I say, well, if he's got a great constitution, if he can handle being bossed around by a woman who really knows what she wants in life and how to get it, and if you're a milk toast and you're able to play that game, you'd be a great partner for her, you know. But, wow, she's this and that and the other thing. Hey, you know, you got to figure out what is your value, what you really want to do. Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Now, when Ingeborg comes in the room, and Ingeborg says, I feel wonderful today. And I look at her, and I think to myself, you feel wonderful today? That's great. Then, yesterday you didn't feel so wonderful, huh? And don't nod yes. And so yesterday you didn't feel so wonderful. And that's not at all the case. She says, yesterday was yesterday. And I felt wonderful yesterday, and I feel wonderful today. In fact, I'm the kind of person that feels wonderful every day. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, she nods, she says, yesterday. Now that's true. I'm the kind of person that feels wonderful every day. And isn't this what you should do?
Yes.
Isn't this what you should do? Mm-hmm.
That's
now,
what it is.
Sylvia, she comes in, and she says, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that. And then, lo and behold, she happens to be standing around while we're struggling, and she says, oh, yeah, do this, do that. But by the time we're done, we don't tell her this, but by the time we're done, she's taken care of half the things that we were working on and doing beautiful, you know. Things began to work well. Now, why is it Sylvia doesn't like to give advice? What has Sylvia learned over the years about people who give advice? They become the chairman of the committee, don't they? They become the one who's in charge of doing it. If I come in here and I tell you how to vacuum the carpet, you say, show me how, Herb, you know. I mean, I'm not stupid either, but and I am stupid to come in and say anything about how you vacuum the floor. But keep your nose out of it. Keep your nose out of it. It is not where you belong. We do this all too often. We stick our nose in with our children, with our neighbors, with our friends. We stick our nose in with all sorts of things going on in life because we feel we are the expert. Well, if we are the expert, how come our marriage failed? How come our kids had problems in school or elsewhere? How come people don't flock to our house for advice? If we're the experts, how come? Well, the thing is, we don't believe it. Now, Heinz, are we the expert?
Sure, we are the expert.
Yes, we are the expert. Definitely we are the expert. But for whom?
Myself.
Heinz knew that he was going to have a chance to say that. For myself. We are the expert for ourselves. Now, Ingeborg, whenever you have a comment to make, who's it to?
Myself.
Beautiful. Ellen, whenever you have a comment to make, who's it to?
To myself.
And Sylvia, who do you make your comments to?
To myself.
A bunch of parrots, a bunch of, what do you call it?
Papagai.
Yeah, papagais. A bunch of parrots saying it over and over again. Myself, myself, myself. Well,
there's only myself.
Just because it's true doesn't mean that you can't say it over and over again. That means you can. Now, how do we learn how to give advice? We learn how to give advice by sticking our nose into the shell of a snapping turtle. And what happens? Snapping turtle sticks out his head,
bang,
and he's got a nose for dinner. Now, that's what you deserve, and I deserve. Anytime I put my nose in anybody's business, the snapping turtle to snap off my nose. So, and I don't like that. I like my nose. I've gotten accustomed to it, and it's kind of nice. And so, I keep my nose out of other people's business. Now, why don't you do that?
I do.
Oh, you do? My goodness. I have to mouth it to them so they can see. I do, you know. They sit there saying, what does Herb want us to say? What does he want us to say? Because we don't want to say something Herb doesn't want us to say, but it goes on tape there and it goes out to everybody. And as Irene says, she's thoroughly enjoying our repartee, you know. And that's lovely. Now, be yourself and have fun. And know that that self that you are is pretty terrific, pretty exciting, and intelligent. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody how good a carpenter you are, or how good at this. As Heinz said, he's been building houses for years, and then along comes the handyman wanting to tell him how to do something, which is a standard building procedure. And so Heinz, as the master mechanic that he is, he stands back and he says, show me. Perhaps you have a new way of doing this that I hadn't noticed before. And so, what do we end up with? Heinz figured we'd have one sheet of plywood left over, but there were 3/8 sheets left over, two, maybe four. Now, how did that happen, Heinz? 4/8 sheets would make almost a whole sheet, wouldn't it? At least a half a whole sheet. And how do we end up like that? We end up like that because somebody else was putting their 2 cents in there. If Heinz had put it in just the way he wanted it, he'd been done, home free, right?
Right.
But you see, when we listen to other people, they don't know what our figuring is. They don't know what our studies on these things are. My dad would figure plans for a house in the evening, and he would know how much these things cost in the shops and what have you. And then I'd figure the plan too after he had gone to bed. And I would not have his information to figure the plan. But I just figured it generally. I don't know what made me think I was so smart. I was just a teenager, but I was smart. And so I figured the plan, and I came within $1 or $2 on each plan that I figured of my dad's. And I couldn't tell him that, because then it would make him look like his work was not very intelligent. But I had to just keep it as my own little secret, you know. And you tell your dad, hey, Dad, I came within $1 of your figure there. How did you know what the price of sand was, what the price of gravel, what the price of stone, what the price of lumber was? How do you know what nails cost and so on? You know.
I just know.
When you listen within, the great architect of the universe is your advisor, giving you all the figures. And when you listen within, the great architect of the universe gives you the answer, done. Not if you want to have how it was done, you got it too, but he gives it to you done. How many nails should we have for the porch? Let's see, we got 8 pieces of plywood, and they're 4x8, and they're should be nailed with at least with 4 nails on each side and a couple of nails in the middle. And then Heinz would say, well, now how many did you come up with? And we said, well, 73 nails. And Heinz says, okay, now refigure it and tell me how many screws we're going to use, because we're going to use screws. And so then you start refiguring the job. How many screws are we going to use? Ellen?
73.
Yes, 73. But you see, the minute you try to take them back to point one, if they go back there, then you know that they weren't listening.
No.
And when you say, well, how many nails do you figure that we need? 73. Well, we're not going to use nails. We're going to use screws. Same number of screws. Well, now figure it out. How many screws do we need? And then it starts going right back to the basics. No, 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 no. We said already. You see, when we give advice, we oftentimes are treading on very unsure ground, very unsure waters. And we should be very careful, because it's not the truth. Well, I think you're ready for a nice afternoon of beautiful things. And know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.